I wonder if we might read a few verses in the second chapter of Luke's Gospel. Second chapter of Luke's Gospel, we might read from the seventh verse. Seventh verse of the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Oh, what a sad thing. Here was the Son of God, the eternal God, come down, visit us as a man. There was no room. No room for him. Oh, beloved friends, you dear young people whom I long to speak, have you ever found room for him? You know, we have a hymn that goes, room for business, room for pleasure, but for Christ the crucified, not a place where he may enter. In the heart for which he died, no room for him. And tonight, this afternoon, I wanted to talk to you a little about inns. In the New Testament, we read of several inns. You all know about the Holiday Inn, don't you? Well, the Holiday Inn is a very different kind of an inn. The inn I want to talk to you about, and yet you had some things alike. And one of the things that the Holiday Inn has got, I think, I don't speak with any authority, I think it has plenty of room. But the inn that I want to talk to you a little tonight, this afternoon, is this inn where there was no room for Jesus. No room for them, it is in the scriptures. No room for the mother or the father, if he was known. No room for that little child who came down from the glory. There was no room for him. Oh, what about you? What about you, dear friends? You, dear young people? Have you ever found room for Jesus? Have you ever found room in your heart for Jesus? Oh, if not, may God help you this very day to find room in your heart for Jesus. There are other inns in the New Testament besides this inn, and strangely enough, they have two different names for them. We're going to read of another inn in a little while. We're going to read of another inn that was quite different to this inn, and yet we're going to read again about this inn. So it had the same name, but it wasn't like the inn that I want to tell you about later. But for now, first thing that I want to say to you, each one, may God help you. May God help you to take it home to your own heart that when the Savior came to this earth, there was no room for them. No room. Oh, may God grant that those few little words, no room, only two words, and yet how full of meaning they are. No room for Jesus. If there's one here this afternoon, one of you boys or girls, or one of you older ones, who've never made room yet for Jesus. May these little words in the New Testament. These little words that tell us so plainly of our Savior. May they sink down deep into your heart, and may you find room for Him. May you make room for Him. You know, we read about some other people later on, and they didn't make room for Jesus. And it tells us that they did not know that He was the Lord of glory. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And I think, you dear young folks here this afternoon, I think if you knew that it is the Lord of glory that we're talking about this afternoon, I think that you would surely not go out of this room without making room in your heart for Him. And it is the Lord of glory of whom we're speaking. It is not only a good man, not only a great man, but the Lord of glory Himself. And He is the one who has come for you and for me. And question is, have you any room for Jesus? Have you any room for the Lord of glory? Oh, may God help you to take down, let go down deep into your heart these few words, the Lord of glory. The Greek word tells you about this. I think I have to tell it to you to help you to understand. There's a word called kataluma, and it means a resting place. And the blessed Lord Jesus, the Lord of glory, did not come down into this world to rest. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And so, when I read this story, and when I remember the name of the inn where the father and mother went to, then I'm not surprised that there was no room for Jesus. Indeed, I might go further and say, when I remember that the name of this inn was the name that means a resting place, I'm not surprised that the Lord of glory turned from that inn to some other, because He did not come to rest. He came to work. He came to labor. He came to die for you and for me. And so, as I read this story in Luke's Gospel, the more often I read it, the more beautiful it seems. Strange, isn't it? Strange that the Lord of glory turned aside from that inn to another, which we'll read later. But this inn, there was no room for Him. And so they laid Him in a manger. You know what a manger is. A manger is just the trough the cows and horses eat their food out of. And that's all they had to give to the Lord of glory. That's good enough for Him. Just a manger. Oh, friend. That's what they thought of the Lord of glory. What do you think of Him? What do you think of Him? Have you found room for Him? Or would you just turn Him aside to the stable and say you can put the baby to sleep in the manger? Oh, friend. May you get a sight of the Lord of glory, and everything would be right. One sight of the Lord of glory, and you would find room abundant for Him, because you knew He is the Lord of glory. Remember, had they known that He was the Lord of glory, these other people would not have crucified him. And if you really knew that he is the Lord of glory, I'll tell you this, you wouldn't go out of this room without making room for him. Indeed, you wouldn't. Queen Elizabeth came, or the President of the United States came. You'd find room for him quickly enough. But what about the Lord of glory? Have you found room for him yet? Now, I want to go over to Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel, the 14th chapter. The Blessed Lord, he lived on this earth about 33 years. And then the time came when he was about to leave it. And again, we find him in an inn, or in the same words that are used for the inn in the second of Luke, the 14th chapter of Mark's Gospel, and the 12th verse. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples. Another place tells us they were Peter and John. He sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, The Master saith, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared, there make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came into the city, and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. I wanted to talk to you especially a little bit for those questions. Two questions that we get in these verses we've read. His disciples said unto him, Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And the Blessed Lord asked the next question, the 14th verse, Wheresoever he, that's the man they met on the road, wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, The Master saith, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? Where is the guest chamber? That word guest chamber is exactly the same word as the word inn back in the second of Luke. Where is the inn where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? Now, boys and girls, here's a question for you. This question was asked by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Perhaps I ought to go back and tell you a little more of the story in case you don't remember it. But the Passover came about the time of our Easter, you know, and it was the time when the lamb was killed, the little lamb that reminded the people of Israel of the time when they were slaves in Egypt. And God was going to send his angel through the land of Egypt, and the eldest child in every house was to be killed. But there was a way of escape. They could take a lamb, and they could kill that lamb, and take the blood, and put it on the two side posts, the upper door posts of the house where they lived. And when the angel came to destroy the eldest in that house, He passed over that house and did not go in to destroy it. And so from that day onward, it was known as the Passover, because the destroying angel passed over this house where the eldest child would otherwise have been killed. Well, ever since that time onward, right up to today, I don't know about Toledo, but in most cities, in Toronto, for instance, you'll find the buildings put up by the Jews, and they'll remember this day that was kept when their eldest children were saved from death. And the chief day, perhaps, in the year to be kept by the Jews. And there are different things about it. First of all, the disciples asked, "Where do you want us to go and prepare the Passover for you?" And the Lord tells them that they were to go out into the street, and they were going to meet a man carrying a jug of water. And the Lord said to them, "You're to follow that man who's carrying the jug of water, and wherever he goes in, you follow him into the house." Now, this has a wonderful meaning in it. That water in that jug is a picture of the Word of God, the Bible that you've got there now. That water speaks of the Word, and the jug held the water. The jug speaks of the people who tried to tell you about the words in the Bible these last days. They're the jug, only an earthen jug, that's all they are. And the water is the important part there. And wherever they were to follow the man with the jug of water, wherever he entered in, they were to enter in too. And they were to ask the man, the good man of the house. That was like the host in the inn. We'll read about the host in the inn later on, but you can remember this good man of the house. It's just the same word. The good man of the house. You'll ask him, "Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?" But I've made a mistake there. This verse is not written that way, really, in the Greek Testament. It's not written this way in Mr. Darby's Testament. There you'll find this written instead, and it's very, very nice. "Where is my guest chamber?" Not "where is the guest chamber?" "Where is my guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?" Isn't that nice? It was my guest chamber and it was my disciples, the Lord said. He claimed that guest chamber for his own. And he claimed those disciples for his own. My guest chamber, my disciples. I wonder, has he ever claimed you boys and girls as his own, eh? I wonder. There's a brother in this room this afternoon, and I'm going to tell, I hope I won't hurt his feelings, I'm going to tell you a story about his grandmother. When I was a boy of 13, we lived in a little town on the north shore of Lake Ontario. And all of us hated towns, and we loved the country, especially the woods, anything like that. And so, because my mother felt the same way, we used to go away out of the town as soon as the school holidays came, and we went away out into the country, far off, we'd be away from the noise and the bustle and all. And when we went away, We used to lend our house to some of the Lord's dear people. And this summer, we lent it to Mr. and Mrs. Rue. the grandmother, I suppose, of your dear friend here in Toledo. And it so happened that Mrs. Rule came out to visit us out in the place where we were living. We were only camping in tents, but she came out to visit us, and she stayed most of the afternoon. And when the afternoon was getting along, it was time to get back before it got dark, and my mother said to me, "Christopher, you get the horse and buggy ready and take Mrs. Rule home to her, where she's staying, to our house." So I got the horse and buggy ready, and we started out to go to Port Hope, which is about 7 miles. And we were driving along, and we didn't talk very much. We came to a very steep hill, and we went up the hill rather slowly. All of a sudden, Mrs. Rule said to me, "Christopher," just sharp like that, "Christopher, why aren't you at the Lord's table?" And I didn't know what to say. I was 13, and I had thought about it too, but I thought a boy of 13 isn't old enough to be at the Lord's table. And so I just didn't say anything. And I let the reins go on the old horse's back, I remember. We were going up this steep hill, and the horse stopped dead. Mercifully, there were no motor cars in those days, or I suppose he'd have been killed. But we sat there, Mrs. Rule, and the horse and me, the three of us sat there just thinking. And I thought a good deal in those few minutes. And that was in, I think, in the latter part of August. Well, by the time April came around, I'd found out the answer to Mrs. Rule's question. And you know, all my life since that time, I've been very, very thankful for Mrs. Rule's question that she put to me that afternoon so long ago. And so I'm just going to pass on Mrs. Rule's question, if Mr. Rule won't be offended. I wonder if Mrs. Rule were here today and she were to ask you, call you by your name, perhaps talk to you quite sharply the way she did to me, "Why aren't you at the Lord's table? Why aren't you at the Lord's table? Why aren't you at the Lord's table?" Ah, what would you say? What answer would you give? Have you got a good reason to tell her why you have to say no? Old friends, the Lord Jesus asked this question. He himself it was who put the question, "Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?" You know, when you've all been to the meeting, you've all seen the loaf of bread, it mustn't be cut. So it's a whole loaf of bread, it mustn't be broken. It's a whole loaf of bread. And the cup of wine. Mind you, I don't think it tells us it has to be wine, because if it did, some of us would be very hard put to. When we wanted to have the Lord's Supper out in some parts of China, if it had said wine, we couldn't have done it because we couldn't get any. But if we can use, it's called the fruit of the vine. And we can take raisins and we can boil raisins and we can use those instead of the wine. Because in the New Testament, I don't think anywhere it says it has to be wine, but it does say it's to be the fruit of the vine. That's just by the way. Now then, come back to Mrs. Rule's question. Oh, I want you boys and girls here this afternoon. I want you to put that question to yourselves. Why am I not at the Lord's table? I hope you are. Then, of course, you can gladly say, "The reason I'm at the Lord's table is because he asked me to come." Oh, look back at the 26th of Isaiah, I think it is. The book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. I think it's chapter 26. 26th chapter of Isaiah, and the 8th verse. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. Now these are the words. Listen to these. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. That's why, I hope it is, that's why you're at the Lord's table, you boys and girls, and older ones. It's because the desire of your soul is to the Lord's name and to the remembrance of thee. Isn't that wonderful that way back in the book of Isaiah, the Lord told us about this very thing. The desire of our souls is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. Oh, boys and girls, we've had the other question about no room in the inn. But here's this lovely, lovely question. Is it true that the desire of your name, the desire of your heart is to his name and to the remembrance of him? Is this something that you want more than anything else in all the world? And that is to please the Lord Jesus. Please the Lord Jesus to remember his name, to remember him. Oh, boys and girls, again let me ask you, if you're not at the Lord's table yet, why aren't you? Just like Mrs. Rule put it to me, Christopher, why aren't you at the Lord's table? And I couldn't give a good reason. Could you give a good reason if somebody asked you this afternoon? Didn't give you time to think about it. They just asked you suddenly like that. Why aren't you at the Lord's table? Oh, may you indeed ponder that question that I pondered for a good many months before I found out the answer. And the answer wasn't a very good answer either. It was nothing wrong with the answer, but it was very wrong of me that it took so long to find out. And so, you boys and girls, what a blessed privilege that the Lord's desire is to have you remember him. He wants you to remember his name. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. Well, that's the second inn that I want to talk to you about. The first inn is the inn where there was no room for Jesus. The second inn that I want to talk to you is about where does he want you to remember his name? I could say it this way, where does he want you to keep the Passover? But the Jews keep the Passover now, but we keep the very same one that the Passover reminded them of. We have the Lord's Supper to remind us of what the Lord has done for us. We take the bread and we break the bread, and it tells us of his body bruised and broken for us. And we take the cup and we pour the fruit of the vine into the cup. We pass it around, and as the Lord Jesus himself said, drink ye all of it, and we do the same. And every Lord's Day, pretty nearly, from that day after I was able to answer Mrs. Rule's question, almost every week from then, I've had the joy of remembering the Lord's death. And I hope it's true, this verse in Isaiah, that the desire of all my heart is to Jesus and to the remembrance of him. Now, don't forget about the pitcher of water. Don't forget what it means. It tells us of the word. And that's where you're going to find out where the Lord wants you to keep that feast. Where that Jesus wants you through the Word of God, through His Word, He wants you to learn to know the place that He has chosen to put His name there, the place that He has chosen to remember Him in the bread and in the cup. Now I want you to go over to another inn. This inn you'll find in the 10th of Luke, I'm not mistaken, the 10th chapter of Luke's Gospel. And we'll read from I wanted the inn, yes, I want where the Good Samaritan took the poor sick man. Isn't that the 10th chapter? Huh? 34th verse. I've turned to the wrong page. 34th verse. Yes, thank you very much. The 30th verse we'll read from, I think that's enough. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jerusalem was the city where they had the beautiful, beautiful temple, and where the gold was, and the cherubim, and this wonderful, wonderful temple. And by chance, they came down. That was at Jericho, at Jerusalem. They were leaving. This man was leaving Jerusalem. He was going down to Jericho, and that was a long walk, down, down, down. Every way he went, he was going down. And it's very bad when we always go down, because you generally get into trouble. And this man got into trouble, too. He fell among thieves. And the thieves, they stripped him of his clothes, and they beat him. They left him half dead. There he was, in the ditch, I suppose, half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. He didn't even go over and look at him. He just saw him as a passing glance, and passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wound, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. He brought him to an inn. Now, what do you think? What do you think happened when they got to the inn? Here was the kind Samaritan, and he'd got off his own donkey, he'd lifted the other man onto the donkey, and I expect he'd given him some of his own clothes, and he'd bound up his wounds, and he'd poured in oil and wine. And now he brought him along to the inn. Do you think that there was no room in the inn for the poor man fell among the thieves? Do you think that... Another question that I should ask you. Do you think that the man who looked after the inn, do you think he came out and said there's no room? Now another question. What about the man that told the Lord Jesus, mother and father, that there was no room? What about that man? You know, when we came here to Toledo to the Holiday Inn, we went down there and there was lots of room in the inn, but that wasn't enough. We had to have something more, and so do you have to have something more. We had to have somebody to receive us and to tell us what room number to go to and all the rest of it. It's called in the New Testament, it's called the host. And the kind Samaritan, he took this sick man, wounded man, he took him to the inn. And the name of that inn is a beautiful name. It's a name that is in the Greek is Pandoctio. Pan, some of you, or perhaps nearly all of you, will know what Pan means. Pan means all. You remember, when I was a boy, they had a big fair. I think it was at Chicago. They called it the Pan American Exhibition. That Pan meant all. All America was supposed to send samples and things up to this exhibition. That Pan meant all. And the name of this inn was the Inn That Received All. Nobody has ever been turned away from that inn yet. The inn in the second of Luke, there was no room in the second of Luke for the Lord Jesus Christ. No room for him. But the room in the tenth of Luke, room for you all. There's room for everyone in this room to come to that inn. And you'll never be turned away. Never. Oh, so the name of that inn is the Inn That Receives All. Oh, I love that. I love that name. Nobody was ever told there's no room here for you. Never. Whosoever cometh unto me will in no wise cast out. Never was anyone cast out because there was no room in that inn. What about you now, friend? The kind Samaritan brought him into the inn and he took care of him. And the next day, we'll go on and read today because it's so beautiful. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, it was about two days' wages there, and gave them to the host. That's the man that we missed in the second chapter. Why didn't it tell us about the host in the second of Luke? When the mother and father, Mary and Joseph, went to the inn in the second of Luke, why didn't the host come out and say, we're very sorry, the rooms are all full, but we could try and find a place for you. We don't hear of the host at all. That host, there wasn't any host as far as I know. Well, there was a host in this one. And you know who the Good Samaritan tells us of? You know who he's a picture of? You boys and girls, could you tell me? Who was the Good Samaritan a picture of? Can you say? Who was it? Jesus. Jesus himself is a picture of the Good Samaritan. But now, another question. Who is the host? Who is the host? The Good Samaritan told us of Jesus. And who is the host? But when he went away, Good Samaritan went away the next day, went on his journey down the road. But before he did, he took out 2 pence, 2 days' wages, and gave to the host, and said to him, take care of him. He'd taken care of him for a time. Before he was going away, he'd taken care of him. Tells us that when he brought him to the inn, he took care of him. And the next day he had to go on his way. And he didn't leave him just without anybody looking after him. He had the host. And he got hold of the host and he said, now, my host, you're to take care of this poor man. Here's money for you for a time. And you're to take care of him. Watch over him. Protect him. And whatever more you spend, when I come back again, I'll pay you back. Oh, what a picture. What a picture. There was the blessed Lord Jesus himself. There he comes down, from glory. come down and died on the cross for you and for me. And now he stayed for a while after he rose from the dead. He didn't go right back to heaven. He stayed for a few days, a few weeks. And then he went back to heaven. And before he left going back to heaven, he took out the 2 pence and gave them to the host. And the host was the Holy Spirit. And so God has ordered, now that Jesus is back on his throne in the glory, the Holy Spirit is down here in this world taking care of his own. Taking care of you boys and girls, you men and women who've been won and purchased by the blood of Jesus. The host is looking after you. You know the host. You know the host. Have you ever thanked God for the host that Jesus left here for you to take care of you? Oh, friends, what a blessed picture it is. And so he took care of him. And then he said, if whatever you spend more, when I come again, I will repay you. What does that mean? When I come again. What does that mean? Oh, I think you know that poor man who fell among the thieves. The kind Samaritan had been so good to him. He just won his heart. And I think he used to go out every day and stand and look down the road to see whether the good Samaritan was coming back again. Oh, friend. He's away now. He went away after they'd crucified him and he rose again. The time came for him to go back. He went back to his throne of glory. And he left the host to take care of us in the meanwhile. And he's provided the host with all he needs. And now you and I, are you looking and watching? Waiting to see whether the Good Samaritan is coming back again. Day by day you've had enough to eat and enough to, for everything you need, all your needs. You come and you've fed in the bread of life here. All the doing of the host has prepared everything for you. And now he tells us the last thing he did before he went away. He told the poor man who had fallen among the thieves, he told him, I'm coming back again. I'm coming back again. And when I come back, if mine host has or spent more than I left you, whatever else he spends, I'll repay him. I'll give it back to him. And so now we're looking for the Good Samaritan to come back. He promised he'd come. And we know that he always keeps his promise. He never, never failed a promise yet. And we're looking for him. We're watching for him. Are you looking and watching for the kind man, the kind Samaritan, who took care of that man who fell among the thieves? Oh, what a blessed thing. To have one that we love in the way we're looking for him. I used to have a cousin, and She lived in a house on a hill, and the house looked right over the railway track. And her husband went away up to the far north of Canada, way up where it's all ice and snow. And I remember going when I was a child. I remember going with my mother once that to visit that lady, and as we parted. My mother said to her, what a nice place you have to look at the station. And she gave a little laugh and said, yes, I have. And every day when the time comes round for the train, every day I go and stand and watch the train come in until all the passengers have scattered. Because, although I don't think it possible he could be here yet, yet I'm watching for him every day. Oh, friend. Are you watching for him every day? Are you watching for him every day, you boys and girls? You boys and girls. What about it? Remember the 3 inns we've talked about? the inn where there was no room, for the, no room in that inn. Oh, I hope there's not one of you boys or girls live in that inn. Don't you live in that inn. There was no room, no room. And then there was the inn where they remembered the Lord's death. They told the Lord, before the Lord went away, he told them exactly what to do and how to do it. And there, that was the second inn. And then came the third inn. Man fell among the thieves. I don't suppose you ever fell among thieves. I remember very well when I fell among thieves once. We were in South China, and we were out giving away tracts and gospels, and trying to get to know the people. And before we went out into this part, the governor of that part of the country said to us, you know, this is a very dangerous place you're going to. It's full up with robbers, and you'd better be very careful. But he said, I'll give you my card, and I'll write something on my card to the robbers. And the head of the robbers is my brother. And so I write a little note on the back of my card to my brother, and then they won't hurt you so much if they catch you. So we went along, and the country got wilder and wilder, and at last there was no more path to walk on, and we just had to wade in a river. And then we saw a man coming out from the woods, and we saw they had guns, and we knew these were the robbers. And we were pretty scared, I can tell you. And the head robber, he came, and I had a bag with my Bible and the tracts in it. And he took that away out of my hand, and he looked at all the things in it, but there was nothing he wanted there. And then I had a friend, a Chinese friend, and he looked at all his things. There was nothing he wanted there. And then my friend remembered, why, I've got the card, the visiting card of the robber chief's brother, and we'll see if it works. So he said to him, you know, yesterday we came down this way, and the governor said that it would be a good plan if we had his card with us, and that you would all help us in all every way you could. And so the robber chief said, let me see it. So he let him see it, and he knew it was his own brother's writing. And there he said, yes, he said, you may go. You may go. It's all right. And he said to all the robbers, give back everything you've stolen. And made him give everything back. And there we got away quite free. Now, the blessed Lord has a way that he saved us from the robbers. And those robbers that he saved us from was Satan and his hosts. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's found a way to save us. And that's by the cause he gave his own life to die for us. And so, remember from the time what we tried to speak of today. Remember about the inn where there was no room, and oh, boys and girls, if there are any of you here who've never yet made room for Jesus, won't you make room for him today? Don't go out of this room. Remember what we read later on or heard in Corinthians. Had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Oh, boys and girls, if you knew, oh, if you knew what the Lord of glory means, if you knew who the Lord of glory is, if you knew how much the Lord of glory loves you, there isn't one of you here tonight, big or little, there isn't one of you here would go out of this, to the doors of this room, until you've made room for Jesus. Won't you then? It's true. It's all true that I've tried to tell you. We get it all in this blessed book. And the Lord of glory. And Won't you make room for him? Won't you make room for the Lord of glory? He may come in. That's the first inn. The second inn, the inn gives us to remember his name. And the third inn, the man who fell among the thieves, who was saved by the kind Samaritan. Oh, may God help you to remember these three inns that we have, and may you above all else, may you make room for Jesus. Shall we sing number 76 in the appendix? 76 in the appendix. Thine, Jesus, thine. No more this heart of mine shall seek its joy apart from thee. The world is crucified to me, and I am thine. Oh, boys and girls, could you say that? Thine, Jesus, thine. Oh, may you, even you little folk, doesn't matter how young you are, how small you are, a little child of 7 or even 3 or 4 may enter into heaven through Christ the open door. And so, you little ones, make room for Jesus. Suffer the little children to come unto me, he says. Number 76 in the appendix.